flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
We have a field reporter checks in on the Grand Isle area for us each week. His name is Daryl Carpenter, Captain Daryl Carpenter of RealScreamers.com. And Daryl, I talked to you earlier in the week. Any more updates on fish kills in your area? Seems that there were some that were prevalent there. We really don't know the extent of them yet. How's it looking?
No, Don, and I'm going to tell you, you know, earlier in the week, and what you and I talked about was earlier in the week during these real, real low tides, in between all that marsh area between Grand Isle and Fouchon, there were no large pockets of dead fish. But you know, you couldn't go 50 yards without seeing a dead redfish floated up on the bank. Like I said, there was one area where it looks like maybe the wind blew a few of them together, and there was maybe 10 or 12 in one area, but no large numbers like some of the pictures we've seen from the west of us. Did have a talk with a wildlife and fisheries biologist, and you know, the term he used from coast to coast, from Mississippi to Texas, was pretty extensive. But, you know, he acknowledged at that point that, you know, not only had not all of them not floated, but because of the weather and the tides, that they were having trouble getting an accurate count on the number of fish. So the good news is, though, that, you know, during the same little trip I had to make to buy PVC supply, there were people fishing on the side of the road with bent rods. So, I mean, there were fish to be caught. And, you know, on average, I've seen maybe one or two boats a day leaving the marina. So, you know, kind of like Robbie and Emma were reporting, there's not a whole lot of people on the water right now to give you any reports otherwise. But, you know, all we can do is we hope that those are straggler fish that got caught in shallow water. And, you know, we've got some deeper channels and deeper canals in there. And we're hoping that it wasn't. I think it's going to be localized little pockets. But I think the majority of it hopefully survived. I mean, and look, every dead fish I saw was redfish. I didn't see any trout in them. So don't know what we can play into that. But let's hope that our trout population did a lot better.
Well, you know, another way to look at this thing is that there were a lot of people who did not fish for several days because you just simply couldn't, and it was too inclement a weather. And had it been nice days when the fish were really biting and you had, you know, maybe 1,000 people out there hammering fish, what would the take have been there that we didn't take because of the weather? So that's another way to look at it, too.
Yeah, you know, and Don, and this week as it warmed up, you know, we talked about the forage species and stuff. This week, as it warmed up, just doing some maintenance around the house, I saw, you know, I saw mantis shrimp crawling around in the mud. I saw the mullets and the bait fish come back. You know, they got back to the surface, and mullets and all were jumping all over the flats. So, you know, time's going to tell, but with any luck, it's not nearly as bad as what it could have been.
Gotcha. We lost you there for a second. Darryl, as far as, you know, availability of bait down there, I mean, this is the time of year where it gets really tough. If you come in, you got to bring your own bait or use the artificials, I would think, huh?
Yeah, Don, I mean, everybody's got freezers, so, I mean, frozen shrimp, and this time of the year, it's you don't want to go without some dead shrimp, because, I mean, sheephead's always your backup. You know, are they the glorified fish that they should be? No, but they're always your backup, and they're always going to put smiles on the kids' faces. So,
Darryl,
frozen shrimp should be ready.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. I said frozen shrimp should be readily available. You're going to have scattered pockets of live shrimp with them hitting the passes and the beach when it's calm enough for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. Darryl, Alabama rig, umbrella rig. Have you ever fished that in either your offshore or inshore ventures over the years?
I threw one time, and I do mean one time. And it was so daggum heavy, I'm like, cut it off.
Yeah, they don't work as well in shallow water as they do in deeper water. But understand offshore that people have been using them along the East Coast. Not so much down here, but I don't see why it wouldn't be effective. Sure looks good under the water, that's for sure.
Well, you know, Don, this past year and in years past, during the summer, especially when those fish, when the trout are on the beach, I love fishing rattle traps. And I heard Robbie talking about somebody trolling them.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming it was rattle traps they were trolling. You know, last year I got to do that once, maybe twice on the beach because there wasn't as many boats there, so I could do it. And the only problem was, is the time of the year it was, the ladyfish and all the other trash fish were so thick, we couldn't keep the lines trolling long enough because something was hitting them. It just wasn't the trout we were looking for. But I think that's a very underutilized method. I've done that before. I've done it on the wall at Chalmette, and oh God, I mean that is some of the most fun fishing you can do.
Yeah, you cover so much water, and I've done it. And Pontchartrain's a good place because it's a little deeper than most areas. It's cleaner, and you can drag it without the snags. But you cover so many miles by doing it like that. You're more likely to encounter the fish, and usually it's good sized fish that hit those rattle traps. Darryl, we got to go quickly. Your phone number and website. Somebody wants to get you.
RealScreamers.com or just pick up the phone at 225-937-6288.
All right, my friend. Thanks for being our eyes and ears down there. We appreciate it. That's Darryl Carpenter.
Thank you, Don.
Real Screamers.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built. It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.